Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. You have your two award-winning international acclaimed hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. And we are so excited to do this one with you all.
It's true. It's true.
Our dear, dear listener friends, my lips are so chapped. Okay. It's getting cold out there, guys. Put on that chapstick.
Oh, and the lotion. My gosh.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like
that skin, guys.
I bled through one of my knuckles the other day. It just started chafing and bleeding.
Yikes.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
It's definitely colder where you are.
Yeah.
But guys, keep wearing that SPF on your face, even in the wintertime. Okay.
Yes.
That's your number one anti-aging defense.
Yes.
Sunscreen
it's true.
On the face every day.
And also, don't be too proud to bust out that winter jacket a little bit early, because no one wants to be around you sick when the holidays come around. Mm-hmm. So
keep yourself warm. Be comfortable. Who cares what anyone else thinks?
Except don't wear shorts. Don't do that. Don't be that guy.
Don't be the shorts in the snow guy.
Yeah.
But while you're putting on that winter jacket, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. You leave us a review. You send us to your friends. Share us on social media, please. Tell everyone you've ever seen on the street all about us, please.
It's true. It's true.
Guys, season 19 started back up. I've watched the two episodes that have come out so far. It's happening. It's there. It's on the TV.
If you want to hear a solo Patreon episode of just Kelsey giving a quick thought idea stream of consciousness of season 19 so far, let us know.
I have the thoughts on them,
but that's definitely something we should do. And speaking of Patreon, subscribe and follow us in the link below where you started listening to this. And we are having a record-breaking week of streams.
Thank you so much.
So thank you, everyone. So keep telling your friends. If you haven't, take a pause right here and just share this link on your Instagram and your Facebook stories, because that's something you can do on both Spotify and iTunes. So anyways, back to the show, and we are back.
Wait, I'm so sorry, because did you notice we had a pickup from Finland? Quite a big
did
spike
we really?
From our Finland and Australia listeners, yeah.
I haven't looked. No, have they overtaken?
Well, I'm only looking for the last 30 days, so I'm not looking overall. I'm just looking the last 30 days. Those are number 2 and 3, is Australia and Finland, which is great.
What? Mm-hmm. Dang. Yeah.
So shout out, guys. Hello to our listener friends around the world. If that's you listening, thank you so much. Please tell us how you found us. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at graysacademypod@gmail.com. We would love to know how you found us, what your thoughts are, if you're cold, if you're warm, what the weather there is. You know, we're a fan. I'd love to go to Australia. It's on the list. We really want to do a cruise from Hawaii to Australia. Those exist. And Carmen doesn't want to do that. He's afraid of cruises. But Michael and I really want to do that.
I would do a cruise to Australia as long as I was with friends and it was all you can eat and all you can drink and it was lobster related.
Okay.
Also, yeah, seriously, holy cow. We're getting it, outside of the United States, that the top couple of countries here right now, Australia, Finland, Sweden, Germany, mm-hmm. Sweden and Germany topping the UK with Malaysia right behind the UK. So shout out wherever you listen. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. So super cool. Every time I know you guys are probably sick of hearing it, but it's really cool because like, obviously we know that people we know listen to this and we do appreciate you, dear friends, and your support and we love you and shout out to you. But it's really cool when it's like someone in Finland. I'm like, well, I sure as shit don't know anybody in Finland. So you guys just found us on your own somehow. And that's pretty cool that you just found us out there on that big blue internet.
It's true. And shout out to overall, I just did a quick historical view with the surge Germany has overtaken Australia in its streams. So our top all-time stream outside of the U.S. goes Canada, then Germany, then Malaysia, then Brazil, then Australia, then the U.K. So U.K., we love you, but you guys are slumping and cracking in the top 10 for the first time. Finland, great job. Great job.
It's because I'm German. That's why they know I'm not, obviously, I was born here, but my last name is
your heritage.
Werner, traditionally pronounced Werner, and very German.
Yes, yes. So. You know, my mother's side of the family, her main name is very German. It's Vonderber. So
that is quite German.
Quite German. So shout out Germany. We appreciate you. Kelsey, can I just start off? Can I give a little bit of a spoiler for this episode?
Yes.
Fuck this episode. What the fuck? Gosh.
What, were you surprised?
Yes. Okay. I think I actually did predict last week. Did I say that George's dad is a goner?
Yeah, you said he was going to die. But I think you said it was going to be like Denny, where he was going to be fine and then die.
Well, either way, I genuinely did not think he was going to die this episode. Like, I thought, no way, no way does Harold die this episode, and here he is. But anyways, I'm not going to give my ranking for this episode. No. You got to wait till the end of this episode to hear the ranking. But Kelsey, I know that now I've jumped all the way to the end and spoiled it for everyone. Okay, I'm ready to start from the beginning.
Okay, real quick before we get in, this episode has the same title as the last episode because it's a two-part episode. So Carmen's not going to do the music part again. And also Shondaland is the same because there were not any new friends. So real quick before we get started, we're not forgetting those segments. They're just not, we're not repeating them. So if you're curious, you can listen to the last episode that you hopefully already listened to.
Yeah.
Because
and I'm not going to give you an arbitrary jingle either. So you have to go back to the last episode to listen to the jingle.
But yeah. Go hit that out. Go hit that out.
We got to make a song. We got to make like an actual recorded song of living in Shondaland.
It's true. And Little Baby Moses.
Oh, Little Baby Moses.
Okay. So this is episode 48 overall. It is the 12th episode of the third season in, titled 6 Days Part 2. Written by Chris Tavernoff, directed by Greg's, I still don't know how to say his name,
Yatanes.
Possibly. It aired January 18th, 2007, had 21.94 million views, which is down, I think last week was like 23.05 or something, so it's down a little bit, so like 4 million people just don't know that Harold died, I guess. They just weren't invested enough.
They're going to be really disappointed next week on Grays when he hits the recap and it's him dead.
Yeah. All right. Now let me read you the Netflix synopsis. This one is, it is what it is. Another Netflix classic. Mark is furious with Addison. George's father continues to recover after his surgery. Wildly misleading. He does not do that.
Wow.
So
is that it? Those two sentences?
Yep, that's it.
Terrible.
Nothing absolutely about Meredith, nothing terrible. About Thatcher, nothing about Izzy, nothing about Callie, nothing about Derek,
Heather,
Bailey, Weber, Burke, Christina, for crying out loud, guys. I shit on Netflix a lot about the synopsis. I don't know if it's someone at Netflix that's writing them or if that comes from someone at ABC or if that was attached to someone specifically at Grey's Anatomy. I truly have no idea. I shit on Netflix because that's where I'm getting it. But it's ridiculous. They're not good synopsises.
You have to think, though, that Netflix would have the power to say, I don't like this synopsis. I'm going to go ahead and just rewrite it.
I'm not sure. I will say, though, I feel like when Netflix, like if you go look at like a Stranger Things, they have very lengthy episode recaps. So maybe I'm being too harsh on them. Maybe it's not their call, but they're bad. So,
well, either way, so many things missed, obviously. Let's get into. Oh, gosh, I saw you do it. You yawned and I thought I could hold it and I couldn't. The recap.
Yes. The recap. Meredith snores, guys. She snores. George's dad asked, well, there was a lot of obviously flashbacks around George's dad. He's in the hospital. He's sick. He has cancer. He asked Bailey and Weber to do the surgery, like proceed with the surgery, even if the tumor is spread. They didn't want to, but they did it. Then Burke tells George to watch the urine output. They watch the urine output. There's, he pees a lot. He kisses Cal. It was like a lot of recap was obviously focused around the George's storyline, because that's a big thing right now. There's also Heather, the girl with the spine surgery. Izzy deposited the check. Mark and Addison are having a thing. Christina and Burke are not having words. Thatcher's there. Addison and Alex had an almost thing. So that was my, what I had for the recap.
There was just a lot in that recap. Yeah,
it was a big recap.
It was basically an entire season 3 recap all in one, honestly.
Again, not sure why this was a 2-part episode. Truly, I don't get it. I don't know why. I don't know the purpose. I can't say. So I just thought it was weird.
Yeah. They wrapped up the storylines, but again, they've extended storylines before. So why was this any different? So,
yeah, it could definitely have just been a 2-episode arc without being part 1, part 2. But maybe it was a deal with the writers or a deal with the director. Who's to say? Someone, but not us. So
if you were in the room where it happened, come on the show and let us know. The
room where it happened. Okay. How good is Hamilton? All right.
So great. I made a killer. That's an order from your commander joke today at work. And, only 2 of like the 4 people in the room got it. And I was like, you 2 are getting raises.
Wow. There was like literally a Hamilton residency in Chicago. That's ridiculous.
When?
Like they before were at we the Chicago it? Theater for like ages. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Long before okay. I forced it upon you.
Yeah, see, I wish I would have known. I would have gone. Anyways, Grey's Anatomy. Shondaland.
Okay, so it starts. Meredith's still snoring. Derek has not been sleeping well, guys, and he is grumpy. And I gotta say, I'm on Derek's side this time. You know that's you know that's a big deal because I hate him. But I need sleep. And if I don't get sleep, I'm bad news bears. And the I'm already not great news goats, so
great news Grays. There was the scene where the alarm is going off and he like gets super frustrated because she's just sleeping through the alarm. And that is me. Jessica will sleep through an alarm for 5 minutes. And sometimes I'll let her go 5 minutes past when her alarm was set. And I'll say, hey, Jessica, can you turn off your alarm? It's been going for 5 minutes. And she'll look at me and say, no, it hasn't. And I'll say, look at your alarm clock right now. Look at your phone. See when it was set. See what time it is now. That's 5 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
But I Michael just sit in the pain them, just to be mad. But
he will snooze it for a full hour. Like, just don't set the alarm. You're not getting up. We all know it.
Yeah.
You're just disrupting my sleep. And now
when
I'm
I
mad.
Realize that, I will wake up enough to reset a new alarm and then go back to sleep. But only if I can realize that in the moment. Because it's not always an easy thing to do.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and then she's like, he says he slept terrible and she's like, well, it's because you were up all night kicking me. And I also relate to that because when Michael snores, I just give him a little nudge and normally he'll just like roll over and stop. But sometimes it's not enough and you have to do a real, real Ted Lasso full on football kick.
Yep. Oh, Ted Lasso. That's our next podcast.
Oh, yes.
I have to go live on the record and say that I'll never do a suits podcast without our dear friend Ryan.
Yes,
love you, buddy.
He has made that known. Okay, so then we go down to the kitchen and I yawn again. George is okay. Izzy's down there. She's making breakfast. And George panics because he doesn't see the check hanging on the fridge. He's like, "Where is it? Where is it? Did you?" Oh, and she says she deposited it. And he said, did you deposit it into the garbage disposal? It's funny.
This is actually a good scene for George.
Yeah. This episode, I was kind of on, like, there were parts where I'm like, I'm glad I'm not there with you, but I kind of understand where you're coming from for a lot of it this episode. So George is being weird, but it's funny because she deposited it and he's like, oh, it's earning interest. It's, you can spend your money now. And he's like, 8.7 million rosebuds. Go send some rosebuds. And she's like, you made me burn my French toast. And he goes, you can buy new French toast.
Yeah, the scene overall was very funny because it's not like George is out there saying, I'm going to use you for your money now. But he is saying, like,
being very supportive of her. He wants her to spend it.
It's very much treat yourself. Like, you have, you've been through so much, whether or not Carmen and Kelsey want to agree with it. You've been through so much, and it's just like, your money can move now is what he said, which I thought was really hilarious.
Also, if you'll notice at the end of the scene, they did not have sex. So just wanted to point that out.
That you know of.
Okay.
There could be, listen, all I'm saying is that prediction still stands. They will have sex.
You're really like, I don't even, doubling down isn't even the word anymore. At this point, it's like
committed.
600-ing
fully
down.
Fully committed to the bit. It's just, it needs to happen. It needs to happen. I don't even want it to happen anymore. It just needs to.
I don't want it to happen. Oh no. Sorry, I dropped something. Okay, so Addison is at the hospital. And she sees Mark, and in an attempt to avoid Mark, she turns around and goes the other way and runs into Alex. And it's hella awkward because they had that almost kiss time. So it's awkward. And then Thatcher comes out and it's even more awkward.
Just the absolute most awkward of actually all time. Also, I was really annoyed with their typical TV trope when they were leaving that scene of the Alex and Addison like bumping into each other and like, I'm gonna go this way. Just don't. It's not even that realistic. I've not been in that bad of a scenario.
Times.
Right.
It doesn't happen as much as the television and film world would have you think. Okay. So then Meredith, Christina, and Izzy they're like watching Thatcher in the waiting area and he's on the phone. And she's like, I can't believe I'm related to him. We have nothing in common. Like, I'm nothing like this man. And Christina and Izzy just read her for filth. And they're like, you are exactly like this man. You're messy. You got shit all over you. Your life is a fucking disaster. You just talk all the time. Like, this is, you're clearly this man's daughter.
Which is like super harsh because they're saying these things to her while Thatcher is completely just over exaggerating the worst possible qualities. He's holding a cup of coffee. He's trying to get the newspaper. He's on the phone. He's dripping and dropping coffee everywhere. He messes up the newspaper. It's just terrible. It's just terrible. And I feel bad for her because they're comparing, like, yes, she can have terrible qualities. She can be a mess. But, like, that's just harsh. That was a bit harsh. But what were her comebacks? The one comeback for Izzy was, you're a millionaire wearing $20 shoes. And
you're in a relationship with no words, and you are a millionaire in $20 shoes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh.
I did like, you're in a relationship with no words. That was very funny to me.
If the millionaire in $20 shoes, gosh, if I was a millionaire, I would do a number on shoes.
Yeah, you really would. Okay, so Izzy gets paged and she goes to Heather's room and they're like, okay, we are actually going to do the surgery. And she's like, oh, did the insurance company decide to pay? And they were like, no, it was an anonymous donor. And she acts all surprised and Bailey's giving her the shifty eyes the second she walks in. Bailey knows. She knows it was Izzy. Bailey's a genius. Obviously, she knows Izzy's bullshit backward and forward.
You know who else is a genius? Me. I predicted that last week.
Yeah, you know what? I think you actually did.
Literally the second I saw that scene where the mom and Izzy was standing right there, the second she deposited the check, I knew she was paying for the surgery. That is me, Carmen, the champion of predictions for Grey's Anatomy. But 300 grand, damn.
Yeah. Okay, so Bailey takes her out in the hall and she's like, did you just spend $300,000 so that you could scrub in? And Izzy gives this speech about whatever. She gives a speech about caring about people or some shit. I don't fucking know. And Bailey's like, I wish you had said you've spent $300,000 to scrub in, because you're doing it again. Like, it's the same pattern. You're getting emotionally involved. You're getting personally attached. Like, it's not okay. This is literally the issue. And you are repeating the pattern.
Maybe she falls in love with Heather and they get engaged, and then she dies of a stroke.
Perchance. We'll see. When would she sleep with George in that scenario?
As the coping mechanism to get over Heather.
Ah, okay, perfect. As long as you have a timeline. Yeah. Also, Heather's 17, so that's legal.
Well, that would happen later on. And also, I don't think it's illegal to marry someone under the age of 18.
Depends on the state, and you always have to have parental consent.
Well, maybe that was a trade-off. Maybe Izzy said, I'll give you the $300,000 if you sign this waiver, Mom.
This is getting way worse. That's just human trafficking. Whoops. That's not what you want.
Obviously, that's nothing to joke around about, everyone. I'm just kidding.
And then there was the title card. So, okay. Moving on. Oh, okay. We get the Addison and Callie scene. So we find out why Mark is upset. This is not what you predicted. Were you surprised?
I was very surprised. Yeah. First off, it was surprising to see the Callie confiding in Addison scene. So already I was kind of like on the defensive of, this is confusing. This is kind of a new development. But I dig it.
We had them. They've had that moment with some other episode where at the end of it, Callie like asked Addison to go to drinks, but Addison got paged, so she was like, but they would it was the episode where the boys were camping and they had the patient who lost the baby and they like delivered the so they were, that was like the beginning of their blossoming friendship. So this is the continuance of such of said friendship.
I forgot about that. So that helps. But in the moment, I felt confused and blindsided. And then to throw in the abortion thing, at first I didn't get it. At first it took me a second to think, okay, I don't understand. This isn't the anniversary of the abortion, but I got it. It clicked later on in the episode that this must have been the due, that this week was when the baby would have been due or been born.
Which took me a while to get there. Verbatim, today was the due date. So yeah,
right. But it didn't occur to me. It didn't occur to me until after, when he was like, we would have been a family. I was like, oh, today was the due date. That's why he's mad. He's not mad because it's an anniversary. He's mad because today is the day. It took me a minute. Okay. Can you stop judging me, please?
Never. Anyway,
I am watching this for the first time and taking a lot of notes. Okay. I miss things.
True.
This podcast is over. This is the last. You know what? I'm glad Finland and Germany is here. I'm glad you're here to listen. In Australia, I'm glad you're here to listen to Kelsey. Anyways, we're not done. We're still going.
Yeah, we're still going. Okay. So yeah, Addison is zoning out. Callie sits down and starts talking about George kissing her and all this stuff. And then Addison's not listening. So then Callie tells her about aborting the abortion, and they have a nice conversation. And Callie's like, oh, did you not want kids? And she's like, no, I wanted Derek's baby. I wanted to be with Derek and not Mark. So yeah, it's a nice moment though, kind of building on the friendship that has been, it's been a few, I will give to your credit, it has been multiple episodes since that was established and they have had no interaction. So
yeah,
but this is reaffirming that for us, the viewers. So.
Do you know how I know that Mark is a trash person, though?
He's
a Yankees fan. If you buy your kid a Yankees onesie, you're a trash person.
He probably says the same thing about you buying your kid a White Sox onesie.
Well, he's wrong. Although right now the White Sox are not fictional. In the playoffs. Yeah. Hey, I'm fictional mad at you. It's okay. It's all right.
Can we talk about that Tennessee game though? Woohoo!
I will tell ya, that you is enough to make me a Tennessee fan watching those fans.
I truly teared up.
I would love to go to a Tennessee game with you.
Oh my God, it's the best.
I would buy an orange Tennessee shirt or hat. Maybe not hat, but definitely a
They
shirt.
Broke the decibel record in Neyland Stadium this weekend.
That's awesome.
It's insane. It's the best, you guys. It's so good.
For anyone out there wondering, Tennessee, which is college Kelsey's, football. Yes, favorite college football team, second favorite sports team only behind the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about baseball, so I only care about this.
So Tennessee beat Alabama in a game, but it was for the first time in what, 15 years that they beat them?
Yeah.
So they tore down the football goalposts. Mm-hmm. They got them out of the stadium, walked them down the main strip of the street and threw them into the Tennessee River. It was wild.
Yep. That's the tradition, you guys. It's a weird tradition, but it's there. Anyways, we're just catching up at this point, even though we've already talked about this. Okay. So, where am I?
They're about to do the surgery with Heather, and Alex asks,
they are doing it. Yeah, George joins the other interns in the gallery to watch Derek operate on Heather, and Christina asks him if he's seen Burke. And his response is, "Even if I did like you, I wouldn't tell you that." And what I like about this is Izzy calls him out on the bullshit because she's like, I don't understand why you're fine with Burke and not fine with Christina. And his response, I'm going to be honest, made no sense to me. He says her career wasn't on the line when she lied to me. Okay. Also, yes, it was because she's entangling herself in this mess. So it absolutely was. And also, I don't understand that response as a defense.
Yeah, I don't either. For me, it would have made more sense if he was like, oh, no, like Burke was manipulated by Christina or Christina was like, the accomplice or something like that. You know,
he said like Burke would never have done that if it weren't for Christina or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I would get it. But I don't understand that defense at all. So,
yeah. But good guy, Alex, nonetheless, asking how Harold was doing. That was sweet of him.
Yeah, that was nice. I also noted that. I was like this, you know, I think they're just sliding in little moments of Alex being good, like really establishing it so it doesn't like come out of nowhere and make no sense. You know what I mean?
Right. Again.
Yeah.
Well, I remember go back and if this randomly is the first episode you're listening to, listen to the first season because all of a sudden, like three quarters of the season through, I'm like, oh my gosh, I like Alex now, and it just
and
hit
I
me.
Hate George.
Yeah. Well, I never liked George. George always was trash.
He wasn't your least favorite.
No. Alex for a long time was. Yeah.
So Meredith tells Christina to just talk to Burke and Christina's like, I can't, he owes me. And Meredith asks what he owes her. And Christina goes, I don't know, which is just impeccable and like relatable. If you're me, like that's definitely something that I would say, cause I will hold a grudge. So then Meredith asks Alex like, oh, how's it going with Addison? And he does that TV trope thing. He's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Why would you ask that? What do you mean? It's fine. What would you ask?
Who like, is Addison? Who even is that? I don't know.
I've never seen a woman in my life. And so he asks what she's talking about. And Meredith's like, the baby? And Alex is like, oh, yeah, no, she's fine. It's good. Baby's good.
And then I hate, you know, you do that again, very TV tropey. You got to look good in front of your friends. Oh, I didn't want to be with the baby. I want to get back on Sloan real bad. I want to get back into plastics. You know me, plastics.
Yeah. Fuck babies, man. They suck.
Plastic bags, plastic wrap, plastic tubes, you know, love
single
all of it.
Single use plastic.
Single use plastics. Love it.
Yeah. So then George and Meredith get paged about George's dad. So all the interns leave, and Callie sees this and kind of figures out like, oh, what's going on? And so she realizes that she wants to be there for George. So she asked Derek, and he's like, why the fuck would you want to leave? Like, this is like, you brought this to me and now you want to leave. And she's like, no, I don't want to leave, but I need to leave, which I think is an important distinction.
So. I wish she would have said, though, I don't want to, but it's George's dad. And then, yeah, like, I wish she would have said that, because she went through last episode and she did the stare down, you know, like she earned his respect. And then I think that this was a big kind of loss for it. But who knows? Maybe their relationship will rebound in the future.
Maybe he doesn't give a fuck because he's too busy being the worst.
Interesting.
Interesting theory. Okay, so Bailey is talking to the family about proceeding. They're in like a conference room, and George sees Callie through the window and like nods for her to come in, which is nice. I appreciate that. Three episodes ago, George would have definitely not have done that. He would have like thrown a brick at her. So Bailey tells the family basically that Harold can't breathe on his own. So the ventilator is breathing for him, but they need to replace the tube. And due to the extensiveness of the surgery, there could be complications, 'cause like his, esophagus and diaphragm could be swollen. So they might not be able to replace the tube as easily as they should be able to in normal circumstances. And basically like prepare yourself, 'cause this could be bad. So then we have the delightful moment. It's a very real family moment. I feel like they're all standing in the hall, like waiting for Bailey to do this. And, they're not talking. And then, Jerry just starts tooting and it's stinky. And then he's like, I'm sorry, I'm having stress toots. And then they all just laugh. And then he just keeps doing it and they just laugh more. And then it zooms into the George and Callie handhold.
Which is cute. And I like it.
Having a moment. Yeah. It's a genuine moment.
If I was a writer on the show, I would have made at one point them go, Jerry, that's terrible. And then the mom goes, that one was me. And then they all laugh. But that's why I'm a superior writer to all of these people.
Disagree. It's fine. You can pull out your Emmys and compare. Okay.
Oh, so I've got Emmys.
You don't. Christina goes to make sure that Burke knows what's happening with George's dad, but she won't talk to him. So she goes in. Tyler's there, Nurse Tyler, who we've seen before and continue to see throughout the series. He's very funny. And she's like, Tyler, can you tell Burke that, like, whatever is going on with George's dad? And Tyler goes, you know he's awake, right? I just love how they drag every single human being in this hospital into the middle of their bullshit. It's delightful. Yeah.
And they don't even hide it. They don't hide it anymore.
So petty.
But we should have had Olivia back. Olivia should have come back for one more.
They show Bailey doing the replacing the tubes. She's nervous. Dr. Weber's like, you cannot be nervous. Like, it's just a patient. There's not a room for nerves here. Like, we're just going to do it. It's going to be fine. And she does it. They struggle with the initial tube and then they go down like half a size and she's able to take care of it. Meredith goes to tell George and Bailey's kind of like shaken up. And I love this moment where Dr. Weber asks her if she's okay. And she says she needs a minute. She says, my son is named after his son. Oh, I just love that so much.
Yeah,
that's so cute.
I got immediate goosebumps on that. And it, like, I was really, like, fuck.
Yeah, it like kind of brings home that it's not just about George. Like, there's such a connection between her and George. Because George was there for her when she became a mom. And now, like, it's George's dad. So it's like an even deeper thing. And I just love that explanation.
Yeah. And it's also, so there's a lot of really great things in this scene. Number one, Weber, really great job. And we see a lot of good guy Weber coming out. I don't know if it's the way he's building this character is the realization that he could lose his wife. So he better damn well do something good if this is what he's going to be doing at the hospital. and being there for Bailey, I think, has been a lot of really good scenes these last couple of weeks with, you know, saying, hey, like, you don't need, like, you don't need justice for Burke. You don't need that. Or, hey, this is just a patient. You know, you got this, right? So good guy Weber's coming through, which I really appreciate. But then, gosh, Bailey, just so, so good.
Yeah.
What's the full name? George William?
William or? George. What they call him, Tuck. Don't even get me started. So Derek is telling Meredith that she needs to get surgery for her snoring. And she's like, well, you should fix your breath and your face. And he's like, I'm too tired to shave. Again, I hate him, but like, relatable.
Just go ahead and grow a beard, Derek.
They're just bickering. You know what I mean?
Has
just
Patrick Dempsey ever had a beard? I'm going to look this up.
There's definitely points in Grays. Please don't Google Patrick Dempsey. I'm just so afraid of what you will find.
Just Patrick Dempsey beard, and then I'm going to get away from it if I see anything that's Grays related. No, nothing Grays related. He does have, he's got a pretty good beard. Oh my gosh, he's in a white coat. Who is that? I'm kidding.
Oh my God, he's in prison.
Oh my God, he's a murderer.
Oh my God, he's in the electric chair. Okay. So
that turned very quickly.
You know, it is what it is. Okay. So Alex asks Sloan if he can scrub in on his plastic surgery, and Sloan's like asking about Addison and if she's miserable, and Alex lies and tells him that she's miserable so that he can get in on the surgery. And Mark doesn't let him in on the surgery. So lying for nothing.
Still a dickhead, Mark. Fuck you, Yankees fan.
Yeah, he's not so much in the teaching in this teaching hospital. He's not into it. Does not seem to grasp the concept very well. Meredith and Christina are in the on-call room, and they're like saying that they both should be asleep, but they can't sleep. Christina really wants to know how Burke is doing, and but she doesn't want to ask.
This is a good scene. This is a good scene.
Yeah, this is a good scene. George's dad is going into renal failure, and Meredith is like, well, my dad's here, and I don't, like, if he died, nothing in my life would change, but if George's dad dies, like, everything in his life changed. And like, but I'm jealous of George that his dad is gonna die. She's like, is that bad? And Christina's like, yeah, yes, that's bad.
Yeah, and
it's
then
bad
the,
that you that feel that way.
Yeah, like actually terrible. But I like that Christina was like, she didn't sugarcoat it. She's like, yeah, like that's fucked up, dude. Like, don't do that. But
don't tell people that.
Yeah, keep that between us and use your use your inside your head voice if you ever do think about that. But then there's one scene where Meredith was like, you could just ask him how he's doing, and then Christina was like, but he could just tell me.
Yeah.
The fuck.
That's us. That's me and you both.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So George and Burke are looking over the chart. Burke tells George like not to blame anybody, and it like at this point they're kind of past the science of it, and it's just about the faith. And this is another really good scene. George says like, but we're men of science, and Burke says, in my experience, science is not enough. And then he says, like, if you want me to be there for you or offer a prayer or whatever, I'm happy to do that for you, which is very, very nice. And I like that moment for the two of them.
Yeah. And it also, you can tell that those stages of grief are kicking in, because George is already going into like denial and bargaining, kind of all the, not really bargaining, but definitely denial.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Burke asking, or him asking Burke if people can come back from multi-system organ failure, and like, sure, I'm sure there are statistics that it's happened.
Yeah.
But
is it the norm?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So George is with Louise, his mom, in the waiting room, and Heather's mom is there, And Louise starts talking to her and she says like, oh yeah, my daughter had spine surgery, and it went really well, but she hasn't woken up yet. And Louise says, yeah, my husband too. Like, I was surprised that they went through with the surgery. And it's like for the first time, George is like, wait, yeah, why did they do that? It's like, yeah, he hasn't thought of it yet. Like,
really good acting, really good acting in the scene, because you see those lights start to get there, but it's almost like he's realizing it and he goes, no, like that was Bailey and Weber. No way would they do that. And then he gets up and it goes, wow, just fucking great scene.
Yeah. So that's the scene with, but right before that, Izzy goes to Heather's mom and says like, she's asking for you. So she's woken up. And then we get George going to confront Dr. Bailey and Dr. Weber. And obviously, like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh yeah, I love it when people yell at Bailey and Weber, but this scene is so good. Like, he does such a good job. Also, the motivation is so clear. And again, it's for sure, like, with coming right after the Burke scene where it's like so clearly in the stages of grief, I'm like, it's very understandable. I'm very lucky in that I have never been in this type of situation, but I definitely feel like something like that would be not a stretch for someone to go through, especially if they're in George's position of knowing these doctors well. George obviously knows more about the medicine and he also knows his dad. So he figures it out. He's like, oh, he asked you to do it, but you should have said no, like you knew better and he didn't. And that's on you. But it's definitely a hard line, I'm sure, as the doctor.
Yeah. It's also...
And then also to have to keep it from George.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think that that's something that you can necessarily forgive someone for, what Bailey and Weber did. Like, you can understand and appreciate where they come from as doctors, right? Like, their duty is to the patient. The patient said... Mm-hmm. This is what I want. And yes, you could probably argue that Harold should have told George, this is what's going on, kid. All right. But when George was like, we could have had days or weeks or months with him, like you just cheated the entire family out of a proper goodbye, of a real true goodbye, because of Harold's selfishness. And that's not necessarily, yes, that's Harold's fault, but I don't know. Like, if I knew that that was the risk, and if they go in there and they open him up and it's truly that bad that they're going to go through and they're going to stick it through and they're going to stick it out, I mean, you got to have a longer goodbye. You got to have more of that. And that's just not okay for Bailey and Weber too, in my opinion, to have stolen that from George.
Yeah, it's just complicated by the personal relationship of it all. The black and white of it is, this is what the patient asked. They explained to him the situation. And he was very persistent in like, he wanted a chance to fight. And like we discussed, last week when we watched it and you said like, that puts him in a good mindset going into the surgery. And there are studies showing that like, where your mind is at during going into a surgery, like can affect the outcome, blah, blah, all that stuff. So it's definitely not black and white. It's very gray area. But also in a way it's almost like, even though Burke told George not to blame anyone, he's going to look for blame. So
well, that's just human nature
with giving him someone to put that on, at least in this early stages. So yeah, it's definitely a tangled web.
Yeah. But 10 out of 10 acting in this scene, mm-hmm. George.
For sure. Yeah, that's a great scene for T.R. Knight. He crushed it.
Is he related to M. Knight?
I don't believe so, no. M. Knight Shyamalan and T.R. Knight? No, I don't think so. Okay. So Mark is all sickly and upset and talking about being together with Addison and they could have been a family, and she calls him out and she's like, listen, no, we wouldn't have, like, just because if I had had this baby, that would not have made us a family. Like, you cheated on me, and only like told you about the last one, I know, but like I knew about more of them. There were more. It wasn't just, you didn't just sleep with someone else. Like you slept with a lot of other people. You would have been a bad dad, which is an unkind thing to say to somebody, even if it's true.
Yeah, that was real. She went right for the jugular and I respect it, but like, damn,
well,
girl.
Also, I'm like, she wasn't saying it to be mean. She was just being like, dude, like, look in a mirror. Like, you would have been a bad dad. You're rewriting history. This is not what happened. This is not what would have happened had I had this baby. Like, having a baby does not fix problems if you're not going to work on your own problems yourself. That baby sure as shit isn't going to make them better. I can tell you that right now.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So also, just being a parent isn't for everyone. He would have cheated on Addison 5 seconds in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was cheating. And I'm like, do we think he's saying, like, if there was a baby, he would stop cheating? If you need a baby to not cheat on your significant other, maybe you just need to not be with that person. Or maybe you don't need to be with any people. I don't know. Like, you know, it's just, don't put that on another human being.
Yeah, at that point, just monogamy is not for you.
Yeah. And that's fine if that's, but again, you got to be open about it, you know? And I think it's, I'm glad that we're in a point societally where people who don't want children can just be like, you know what? I don't want kids. And then they just don't have them. Whereas, you know, not that long ago, basically everyone, and there are still people who unfortunately think this, like if you don't have kids, you serve no purpose in life. And that is so wildly untrue. And knowing that you don't want to have kids, I think is great, because then you aren't bringing a baby into an unwanted situation and then like probably putting emotional trauma on that child.
Yeah, that would have been, imagine being that baby. You're in a trauma cycle for life. Your mom cheated on her husband to be with you, or to be born by a out of wedlock marriage baby, and then your dad cheats on your mom every chance that he can.
Yeah, just like so much not greatness for that baby.
Not greatness.
So I think it's good on Addison's part to call him out. Again, I think it would be different if she was like, and you would be a terrible father, and she's saying it just to like hurt his feelings. That's not her intent. It's really more to just ground him in the reality of what was actually going on in their relationship when she made that choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Queen Addison. We love her.
Always. Christina takes Burke lunch, but it's so good. Neither of them speak to each other. So she's just standing there, and then the nurse comes in and she's like, oh, it's lunch. I was looking for that. And Christina like won't give it to him. And it's really weird and funny. And the nurse takes it and she's like, fine, feed him. Like,
well, what did she say? Like, oh, he doesn't get this until something. And then Burke says, can you ask her what that would accomplish or some shit? Like, what did she say? That was a funny scene, but I didn't write it down.
I also didn't write it down. I just wrote it down. I wrote down it was weird and funny.
Oh, it's so hilarious. I love that.
So to all you people screaming at us what they said, I am sorry. We don't remember.
Message us on Instagram or email us at graysacademypod@gmail.com.
Or text us tomorrow morning when you listen to this, Ryan. Okay,
yeah,
so,
and Leah.
So Addison is checking on the baby. Alex comes in. Addison apologizes. I think it's a nice...
Wait,
moment.
Hold on.
It's okay.
Does Kelly still listen to the show?
Yes.
Kelly, you could text us too. Shout out.
Shout out. So Addison apologizes. It's nice. It's professional. It doesn't cross any lines. She's like, this is the situation. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm sorry. And I like it. Alex doesn't really want, like, he doesn't go into it. He's just like, okay. Then he asks about the baby. And, she's doing great.
Yo, he loves her.
He loves her. He loves the baby. I'm just kidding.
No, he loves Addison. Addison is his baby. But
I also love Addison.
As soon as he confesses his feelings for Addison, he's going to go have sex with Izzy.
my God. I thought Izzy was having sex with George.
Listen, Izzy can have sex with everyone she wants.
That is true. She can do that. So then George is shaving his dad's face and starts telling him about how he lied to him when he was a kid and he hit the neighbor kid in the face with a stick because the neighbor kid was too tall. So he had to get a stick to reach his face. So he hit him with it. And then he apologizes for lying. And then he says, if there's any fight in you, please fight a little harder. And it's quite sad.
I was emotional during this scene.
Yeah.
And Jessica was, yeah, I was very emotional. And Jessica was vacuuming around that area at this point. So I was like, Jessica, can you stop for one fucking second? And I was like, I need you to know that if
you're
I'm ever in
vibes.
Yeah, number one, you're killing the vibes. But number two, if I'm ever in a coma, don't shave me, but definitely make sure my hair looks good. Do you know how to do my hair? And she did not know how to do my hair. So we need to work on that. But she's like, well, what's happening right now? And I said, George's dad is in a coma. And she goes, oh, okay. She didn't say anything to her credit because she knew what happened.
Yeah.
But at the end of the episode, I go, Jessica, George's dad dies. And she goes, I know.
She has watched that far. She hasn't watched all of it, but she's watched this far.
Anytime a dad dies in a TV show. Shout out. She listened to the show.
I know. That's why I gave her a shout out.
So shout out.
We love you.
We love you. But anytime a dad dies in a TV show, so sad. So sad.
Yeah, parent deaths are sad, yo.
Yeah, yo.
They do be sad.
Doobie.
Meredith wakes up. Her bed is empty. Derek slept at the trailer. And then Meredith and Izzy have a very nice scene. You know what? This episode has a lot of very genuine connection moments. And I like that about this episode.
Yeah.
That's really what brings this episode up for me. So they have a very nice connection moment. And Izzy's like, I have all this money and I would spend all of it to keep George from experiencing and going through what he's about to have to go through. And she's like, and I can't, it doesn't matter. There's like nothing I can do about it. And it's sad and it's true. And I have to switch to my phone because for some reason my iPad only has half my notes. So let me just find where we are. Okay. So George, Callie sees Mark and like, it's weird. Because she's a weirdo, but I love her. And so he's like, oh, did Addison tell you? And she says, yeah. And Mark goes, do you think I would have been a bad dad? And she's like, I don't fucking know. And so she starts asking him like her dad questionnaire, I guess. She's like, do you like kids? He goes, I don't know. Depends on how loud they are. A+ start.
Not a good start.
Incredible. What were some of the other ones? Like, do you like your family? Do you remember birthdays, anniversaries? What were the other? She asked another question.
Those were pretty much the good ones. Those were.
And he's like, well, I thought that's how like all guys were. And she's like, no, to some men, family is everything. And he's like, oh, you know, men like that. And she's like, yeah, I do. I know one. So she's obviously like thinking about George.
And she smiled so big when she said that.
Yeah, she did.
I'm going to feel real bad for her when George breaks up with her.
And so then Mark's like, yeah, I would have been a terrible father and just leaves. So then we cut back into that sad conference room. Dr. Weber and Dr. Bailey are telling the O'Malleys that he is not going to wake up. The ventilator will keep him alive for however long, but they need to make a decision if they want to keep him on that or take him off. And it's, again, really sad moment, really genuine moment. You can see even on Dr. Bailey's face, like the pain she's in having to like deliver this news. It's a bummer. And they asked George, like the Ronnie, Jerry, and Louise asked George what he thinks, and he's like, yeah, he's in pain and he's not dad like this, which is so sad. And I just, like, my heart goes out to anyone who's been in this situation. It's one thing to lose someone, it's a whole other thing on top of that to have to make this choice in the matter. And it's just like heartbreaking. I truly can't imagine.
It's also, it's it's sad in a lot of ways, right? Because it took Harold dying for him to get this kind of vindication from his brothers. And
yeah,
like, I don't think that they could have better wrote a scene where George's brothers respect him and care about and value his opinion like the way that they did. It's just also sad on another level that Harold will never get to see it.
Yeah, very, very much so. All of that is very upsetting. And then Meredith goes to Thatcher and asks, like, oh, is there a drawer full of cards? And he's like, the fuck does that mean? And she's like, I only ever heard my mom's side of the story. Like, do you have another side of the story? Like, is there more information I should know? And like, there kind of is, but he's not going into great detail, right? He's like,
he forgets how to fucking make a sentence in this scene. Oh my gosh.
Meredith does the same shit though.
Yeah.
Meredith has
yeah.
done the exact same thing. So yeah, he just says like, well, your mom moved to Boston and basically told me not to call. And I didn't. So like, obviously he's not blameless in that situation. You know, to Meredith's point, he could have called, he could have gone to Boston and tried to see them. Again, we know little about Ellis, and what we do know is not flattering. So I have to assume their relationship was tumultuous, to say the least. So yeah, it's pretty much just what it is. So then she was like, do you snore? Because my mom didn't, and apparently I snore. And he's like, yeah, I snore. You get that from me. And then he says, use earplugs, which is what I said.
You're Thatcher, Kelsey. You are Thatcher now.
No. I don't snore.
No. But you told people to use earplugs. So you're Thatcher, but without the snoring.
I'm just someone with common sense. Derek. Okay, I can't with Burke and Christina. They're both in the room. They're both reading. And Christina's like making so much fucking noise with this newspaper. Like, she's being disruptive with a newspaper. Like, that's how petty this woman is. And I just love it. So Derek comes in and Burke asks about Harold. And he's like, he's not going to make it. And Burke looks over to Christina and kind of like sees her face fall. And I think when you get to the end of the episode, which we'll get into when we get to it, I think it's safe to assume that Burke knows this information about Christina. So when he knows that she's now going to watch one of her peers go through this, that's kind of in my mind what motivates him to tell Derek that he has not had a tremor since the surgery. Which brings Christina joy. So then we get the scene where Bailey is taking Harold off of the ventilator, and he dies, and it's very sad. And all the interns and Callie are waiting out in the hall for George, and he comes out and just kind of goes outside.
And that Christina scene was rough. Him. That scene was rough.
The Christina George scene or Bailey taking him off the vent?
Taking him off the ventilator. Because, yeah. So for a number of reasons, obviously it's all coming to an end, but I still really was genuinely convinced there was going to be a happy ending to this. And I thought, yeah, I was, until he flatlined, I thought he's going to live. He has to live. He's George's dad. And then the flatline goes and I literally wrote, oh fuck, he really died.
Oh, he did not live.
Like, I know I joked around about him dying, and I think I said verbatim, he's a goner, but like, yeah. Fuck, like, that's still sad.
Yeah. It's very sad.
But all of this, from this all the way to the end, this scene all the way to the end, it's all sad. Minus one scene. There's one scene in particular that's not sad.
The thing that the writers have done up to this point is they didn't introduce George's dad two or three episodes ago. Like, the relationship he has with his family is established. We've seen it in a lot of other episodes. He is close with his parents. He's very close with his father. Like, yes, his brothers annoy him, but like, his family he's a family person. Like, he's here. He lives where his family still lives. Like, he's very involved with his family. And this has not just been thrown out. You know, this is the first time we're seeing him. Oh, your dad's in the hospital and now he's dying. So, like, we as an audience have this intimate knowledge of his family and, like, their relationship. So it just makes it that much sadder. And yeah, it does make you think maybe there will be a happy ending. And then there's not.
It's just sadness,
which unfortunately is a reality for a lot of people. A lot of the time, you know, people go through this all the time. It's very, very sad. Then Izzy goes to find Dr. Bailey and she sees Heather walking and the surgery went well. She's walking almost upright. It's great. She tells Bailey, like, I am a surgeon and someone who gets emotionally involved with people. Like, I am an emotional person. I won't cross a line the way I did before, but I'm still going to be who I am. Which I guess is fine. Whatever. You know,
you can respect it.
She's setting the expectations appropriately. She's like, this is who I am, but I also did learn a lesson from that other terrible thing I did. So that's good.
I will not cut an LVAD wire ever again.
I will cut no LVAD wires. So then we get one of my favorite Christina George moments. Honestly, one of my favorite moments in the whole show. Like, this is just such a good moment. And I love it when we learn about people's backstory in non-conventional ways like this, right? Where Christina just goes out and she has a very vulnerable moment with George, who has been, they have, like, their relationship has been, to say the least, on the rocks for several episodes. Like, they're not in a good place as friends. They already, even before all of this, weren't really friendly with each other because they're just so differing as human beings. So then obviously when everything goes down with Burke, like, it just kind of puts even more stress on their relationship. And so then this moment really brings just, like, it's like nothing else matters and she knows that. So that's why she's stepping up in this moment and being like, it doesn't matter if you're mad at me, it doesn't matter if we don't like each other, like, I know what this is like and you need another person with you to know what this moment is. And it's just very sad. And I just love at the end of it when she says, I'm really sorry you had to join the club. And he says, I don't know how to exist in a world where my dad doesn't, to which Christina replies, yeah, that never really changes, which is very sad because she said her dad died when she was 9 and she's in her 30s, presumably. Or at least late 20s. So
yeah,
just very sad to think about.
It's crazy because, like, even right now talking about this episode, like, my dad and I have a interesting relationship, to say the least. And even today, my dad called me while dropping off Marlo at school saying that he's probably not going to be at her first birthday party. And even then, trying to think in these shoes of what I would feel like if my dad died, like, all the crazy shit and all the stupid stuff that he's done, like, I've been able to have 30 plus years of my life with my dad, you know, and trying to put your mindset into that of Christina, who in this character, and a lot of people out there have had their dads for a lot less time. Some people don't have dads. It's crazy. And, it's just not a spot that I look forward to, obviously, with either my parents.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a really sad scene. I will say we learn much later on in the series how Christina's dad dies. Do you have a prediction on that? Like, what do you think?
He was murdered.
Okay. Murder. And then we have the not sad scene of Alex and Addison at the bar.
Hey-o!
It is worth noting that Joe does ask Alex about George's dad. Precious Joe. He's so sweet. Alex goes and sits by Addison and she's like, do you have a dad? And he's like, not really, no. And then she just kisses him. because that's the what you do, I guess. That's just how you respond to that.
Yeah. Also, not really. What an answer. So his dad is alive, we have to assume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also, the kiss. Nice.
Yeah.
So many good moments happen happen at that bar.
Do we think Addison is sober in this moment?
Who cares?
No, I just want to know your opinion.
My opinion is, who cares? But she's probably she's probably tipsy. Probably. Maybe.
Yeah, that's what
maybe
I would say,
lightly
like,
buzzed.
Just like maybe second or third like scotch in.
Inebriated enough to know that it's a bad idea, but she's gonna actively choose to do it anyways.
Yeah. And then it cuts back to Meredith's house. She's snoring, but leaves earplugs on Derek's pillow, and so he can actually sleep now. That's it.
The end. And but they smile and they cuddle, and they're on the bed laying together.
Yeah. So, yep, that's it. That's the episode. What do we think?
All right. I'm going to give this episode a fellow, a 4.0 even.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What about you? I am going to do a fellow and a half, because there's just so much like genuine connection and like so many true moments and like just there's a lot of really good scenes in this episode where you see a lot of raw emotions and a lot of people. Like, there's the Callie and Addison scene, which we haven't seen in a while. There's obviously the Christina and George scene, which means a lot. The little very short Burke and Christina thing where he tells Derek that he hasn't had any tremors. I like the Mark and Callie scene where she's asking him the questions and we see that she's thinking about George. There's just like so many good scenes. I love the scene where George is yelling at Bailey and Weber. Like, do I love the reality of him yelling at them? No, but I think the scene is done so well and the motivation is so like raw and real and understandable that like it's not really that you're on anyone's side in that scene. You're like, this is just reasonably what would happen and that's fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, it's definitely a 4.5. It's good. It's they tell the story of a really hard thing, George losing his dad, in a really good way, in my opinion.
Yeah. All of those reasons are the reasons that it's a 4 for me. I didn't think I needed to go up any higher in the rankings just because there wasn't like a moment of pure drama. There wasn't like this moment of full-on suspense where you're sitting at the edge of your seat, for me at least. No. Because even when George's dad dies, it was shocking enough that I was like, oh, so he's not recovering. But it wasn't so much of a shock that he was going that route, where I was on the edge of my seat, like rooting for it or cheering for him to live, you know, like, come on, George, like pull through, Harold, right? Harold, pull through. So I don't know. I just think for me, like I think a little bit was it is the second of a 2-part episode. So there was a lot of pressure to be a good episode. And I don't think it was, again, very drama filled. If I'm looking at this strictly from an acting and a human moment standpoint, it's a 5. But from an episode overall, I think the lack of a crazy cliffhanger or the crazy suspense or like a person exploding, they can't, I can't in good faith give it a 5.
Yeah, that's
Does
fine.
That make
that's
sense? Fine. Is it my yes. my rationale?
Yes. I think, okay, so I was going to see what predictions do we have. Addison and Alex, do you have a prediction on them?
They will have sex within the next 3 episodes.
Okay. George and Callie, you still think they're going to break up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
George's dad, you think he's dead?
He might not make it.
Okay. Christina and Burke. I want a number of episodes until it is either resolved or over between them. And which one you think it is? I'm pretty sure you said they're going to break up.
But I want a number. So they're going to talk next episode.
Okay.
And by the season 3 finale, they will be broken up.
Okay. Tell me what makes them talk to each other and who talks first.
Burke talks first because Addison's going to talk sense into him.
Mm, okay. Okay.
Queen Addison talks sense into him.
And
he's probably going to be telling her off. Like, Christina, really? Really? You told on me and you think that you're the one who gets to be not talking to me? And then they're going to break up within the next couple of episodes by end of season 3.
Okay. I think we only are on season or episode 12, and I think there's 24 episodes. So I think we're halfway through. Let me double check my math.
So that means they have 12 episodes to break up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea. Literally.
It's true. He doesn't. That's the premise.
I was re-listening to every once in a while just on iTunes or on Apple, just my phone. Our podcast will come up because it all goes through iTunes for me to upload it online. And our Hard Day's Night episode, our first one ever. And I forgot that you said you've seen every episode multiple times except for one. Yes. You've only seen it once. So... Yes. You're gonna rewatch that episode, right?
It will be the second time only of rewatching it, and I already think about how I don't want to.
Can you tell me what season it is?
I believe it's season 12 or 14.
Oh fuck, we're not gonna get there for like 2 years.
I know, it's because you need to start watching more episodes a week.
I
stop
can't.
Having a full-time job, Carmen. I'm so annoyed with you.
I need the stock market to just take off so I can retire.
Okay, so there are 25 seasons. Please. There are 25 episodes in this season. So we're we're like halfway, basically. So this is what's happening. And Carmen and I have not really discussed this. We kind of discussed it, but not like we haven't settled on anything. So 13 and 14 are regular episodes. Then 15, 16, and 17 aired separately, but are like a three-parter. And then 18, 19, 20, 21 are normal. And then 22 and 23, I think, aired together. And then I think 24 and 25 aired together. But those 22 and 23 are two parts, and then 24 and 25 are two parts. So, yeah.
And we're going to be in person in a couple of weeks, so maybe we should try to plan something out.
We are, but I just don't think we're going to be able to record in person. We're going to be very busy, like,
it's gonna be busy
with all of our friends.
Yeah,
like, we're going to be busy celebrating your baby. She's getting to be having her first birthday party. She's going to be dedicated to church. Like,
and look at how big she is.
It's going to be, I know, I can't. She just, and I gave her those pants, I think.
I don't know, like, but truly, I think
I'm pretty positive those were Scarlett's pants. And when I saw that picture, I was like, this actually makes me emotional that, like, she's wearing Scarlett's little baby hand-me-downs.
We're also, I think, going to wear the same shoes to that baby dedication. I haven't decided yet.
Perfect. I love it. Did we do everything? Did we do
all
the
predictions? I feel good.
Thatcher, do we have anything? He's been around. What do we think about that? What's he doing?
I think they're slowly going to build. They're going to mend their bridges. But the second that their bridges get fully mended, he's going to die. I think okay. Ellis outlives Thatcher.
Okay.
But in the course of the next 19 seasons, they both die.
I mean, do you have anything for Meredith and Derek? Because, like, this, they're obviously not the center of this episode. All that we have is that Meredith snores. And so I don't really know. Like, do you have anything to say about them? If you don't, understandable, but do you?
No, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until give me at least the next two episodes to kind of see what happens. But I have no predictions on them yet. I don't really care for their relationship. It's fine. Their relationship is fine. There's no Monica and Chandler in this show for me yet, you know? There's right, no right. couple that's gotten together that I'm like, oh, fuck, if they break up, I will be devastated. That just doesn't exist for me yet. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks so much for playing, you know, for predicting everything. I love it.
I love this game.
Thank you guys for listening. Again, if you have a moment to leave us a review, rating, share us on the socials, text us to your friends, tell everybody you see about us. Feel free again to reach out on Instagram. We are Grey's Academy Pod. And you can also email us at greysacademypod@gmail.com. You can find our episode links in our Instagram bio, as well as the link to our Patreon. That is also in the episode notes for this episode. You can follow our personal Instagrams accounts if you care. I just posted a picture of Scarlett in a Bluey costume. So my Instagram handle is chaoticallykelsey. Carmen's Instagram handle is carmen.gabriel.official. And he just posted a picture of him and Marlo wearing matching tiny Jordans. Well, Carmen's aren't tiny, but Marlo's are.
yeah, mine are significantly bigger.
Marlo could climb into Carmen's and go to sleep, but... Yes, so thank you guys so much for listening.
I think
again,
one of those shoes is longer than one of her entire legs.
For sure, she has tiny legs. She's so short.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I apologize.
It's fine. No, again, we want to say thank you so much to all of our new listeners who have just found us. Hello, welcome. Please stay around. Please, if you feel so inclined, to email us and tell us how you found us, or just email us and tell us where specifically in those countries you're listening from. We just think it's really cool to know how people we don't know found us. So thank you guys so much for all the support. And remember, if you see Carmen and Marlo walking down the street,
compliment our shoes and then don't spoil the show. And we'll be just the bestest friends forever of all time. And we will see you all in the next one.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.